It is a real joy to be able to share with you today, and I'm glad to see how the Lord is working and guiding and leading in our lives. What a joy it is to be a part of the family of God. As you've seen in your, perhaps already seen in your bulletin, the title that I've given to the message is The Language of the Kingdom. We all realize that this year, the theme that we're looking at is Thy Kingdom Come. Talking about the Kingdom of God, and it's just really been interesting to see all the different aspects of the Kingdom of God and many things that are involved in it. And this morning, I want to look at this thing of the language of the Kingdom. One of the things that is usually common when it comes to a kingdom or comes to a nation is a common language. That's very important. Ours, obviously, is English, isn't it? Even though there's many different languages spoken in the U.S., our common language is English. Matter of fact, English has become pretty much the trade language of the world. And so that is something that we have in common as a nation. Israel, the country of Israel, many years before Israel became a nation, there was a lot of debate among Jewish people because there was a movement of Zionism. And they were looking for a nation. They wanted to go back to Israel. And they debated, and one of their debates was, what will we have for a language? What will be our language? And they chose Hebrew, almost a dead language. They took it and revived it and modernized it and so on. And today that's their language. That unites them together. China, after the revolution back in the 1940s, they forced upon that country a common language of, I think, Mandarin, that they insisted that goes throughout the whole country. Before that, it was just many, many different languages that they had. And so that is something that each nation is going to have is an official language, something that everyone is supposed to be able to speak. And that brings about a unity to them. I might even say before I go on, we have a little of that type of thing right here among us. And that is that many of you, I can't, but many of you can talk a Pennsylvania Dutch. And I've watched that over the years. It seems like that is something that when you meet other people that can also talk that, it gives you a bond with them. And you have something in common together. That if you get someplace, you don't know a person, but they can talk Pennsylvania Dutch, that's something special, it seems like. And so language has a way of tying people together. Now, what is the language of the Kingdom of God? If each kingdom, each nation and so on has its own language, what is the language of the Kingdom of God? Is it English? Surely German. Pennsylvania Dutch? Well, then it's got to be Hebrew. Or Greek, that's after all, that's what the Bible was translated from, is Hebrew and Greek. Is that the language of the kingdom? You know, there's over 6,000 languages in the world. Isn't that amazing? Over 6,000 languages in the world. Which is it? Which one is the language of the Kingdom of God? Well, that's what we want to look at here today. And we want to look at how it's expressed, and we want to learn How can we speak it if you can't already? All right. What is this language is the first thing we want to look at. First of all, before I give you that answer, I'm going to maybe keep you in suspense a little bit. What does a language do? What does a language do? First of all, a language is something, it's a way that we communicate with each other, isn't it? It's impossible to communicate if we don't have a language that we can communicate with. One of the most helpless feelings that I've felt is getting into some place where people cannot talk English. No English at all. I remember one time my wife and I were in the country of Greece. And it was in the evening and we wanted to go out. We had a little free time and we were hungry. We wanted to find something to eat. And we stopped in at the store and nobody could talk English. And we tried to make motions of, where do you find a restaurant? Where do you find something to eat? We finally had to give up. They could not figure out what we wanted. And so it's a very helpless feeling when you're in those types of situations. But even then, oftentimes if you can't talk the same language, you can make gestures and maybe get across to somebody somehow of what you're trying to communicate to them. I had to wonder what happened at the Tower of Babel. I read that account and we know that the Lord brought confusion by dividing them up into languages. And I had to wonder, how did that all happen? Was there 6,000 people there and they each spoke a language? I place it more as different families or different groups of people started talking different languages and so on. And here again, I don't know exactly, but we know what it did. It caused them to spread out, didn't it? And it caused them to group together among their own language. And there they would spread out over the earth as the Lord wanted them to do. So language is the way that we communicate with each other. Also, language is how we reveal things to one another or how we learn. You know, we've all been born ignorant. We're all born that same way. We're born without any language, without any really knowledge, in a sense. There might be certain things that come naturally to a baby, but most of it has to be learned. And language is important for that. And so it's used to teach, and oftentimes it's a lot easier for a child to learn a language when they're young. You know, as I thought about this whole thing of language, I had to come to the conclusion that I don't think we could exist without language. I don't think we could exist. Now, I know evolution teaches that Og and Uga one day all of a sudden started grunting to each other, and out of that they developed a language. I don't think Og and Uga would have ever got that far. You know? I don't think they could have. Evolution portrays that humans were around for a long time and then finally they developed a language. I don't think that could have happened. I really don't think you could exist without some form of language and communication with each other. And then, as we said before, language has a way of uniting people together and bringing people together. And that's necessary, really, for survival as humans. Okay, I'll give you what I believe is the language of the kingdom. And that is simply Jesus the Messiah. Jesus the Messiah, I believe, is the language of the kingdom of God. Now, why do I say that? Turn to John, and this is a familiar passage to us. Turn to John chapter 1, verse 1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And you could read on down through, and in John, and I think John is the only author in the Scripture that uses this term, the Word, for Jesus. Obviously, this is who he's talking about. And he calls Jesus the Word. And you might say he is a language. He is the Word. And as we said, language communicates. And how did Jesus communicate? How does that refer to Jesus? He communicates what God is like. He communicates God's will for us. And he is the communication between God and man. That's who Jesus is. That's why I call it a language. And maybe I have a little hard time understanding why I use that term, but he is the Word. Language communicates. Language reveals. And that's what Jesus does. He reveals God, who he is, and his will for us, and so on. So Jesus is our language of the kingdom. He is central. He is what really brings us together. He is what unites us. He is, as we go any place in the world and you meet fellow believers, we have something in common. We speak a common language. And that is that Jesus Christ is the Messiah. Jesus Christ is our Lord and Savior. Jesus Christ is the central figure in our lives. Our lives are dedicated to Him. And so He becomes that central language in our life. Interesting how when you go over to Revelation 1, and in verse 8, Jesus says of Himself, He says, I am Alpha and Omega. What's Alpha and Omega? Okay, it's the first and last letter of the Greek alphabet. It's like we would say in the English, I am the A and the Z. I am the entire alphabet of God, I think is what he's saying. See? He is the Word. And it all connects together. He is the Word. And he is our entire alphabet. He is the one that binds us all together. Now, that's the language of the kingdom. But there's also another language spoken in this world. And that is the language of this world. You see, there's two of them. And if the language of the kingdom of God is a person, then it stands to the reason that the language of this world is also a person. It's obviously who that is, isn't it? It's Satan himself. Matter of fact, the Bible refers to Satan as the God of this world. Calls him the prince of this world, also the prince and the power of the air. Refers to him as the ruler of darkness. Interesting to see. Turn to Matthew chapter 4. And this is where Jesus was going through those temptations that when he was out in the wilderness. And over in Matthew chapter 4, verse 8, one of those temptations involved this. It says, again, the devil taketh him up into an exceeding high mountain and showeth him all the kingdoms of the world and the glory of them. I don't know how all that happened. But somehow Satan showed Jesus all the kingdoms of the world and all the glory, all the riches, all the pomp and display and everything that goes with them. And then he saith unto them, all these things will I give thee if thou wilt fall down and worship me. He says, I'll give you, Jesus, I will give you all of this. All you have to do is fall down and worship me. Now, I have to ask myself, was that true? Was that true? You know, Satan, and we're going to read this, I think, in a little bit. Satan is a liar. But I think there was a certain element of truth in it. Now, I realize, and I believe, that God has ultimate control. Over in the book of Daniel, it talks about that God is the one that raises up kings and puts down kings. But at the same time, I think there was a certain element of truth with it. That Satan is the one that is the head of the kingdoms of this world. And he is a great influence on them. And so I believe that there was a sense that he was right. Of course, we know that Jesus responded to that. Get thee hence, Satan, for it is written, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve. But I think it does show us that there is an element of that, that Satan is the head of the kingdoms of this world. And I would say then, in that sense, he is the language of this world. Now, I'd just like to see a few contrasts between these two kingdoms and these two languages. Over in John chapter 14, verse 6, Jesus said, I'm not going to turn to it, we all know this verse. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to the Father but by me. We all know that verse. But think about those three things. Jesus said, I am the way to God. What does Satan say? Satan, I think, is too smart to openly say to people, come, follow me, I'm Satan, come and follow me. I think he's too smart to really say that. But what does he say instead? He says, you are the way. You are the way. Man is the way. See? Jesus says, I am the way. But Satan says, no, you're the way. It's up to you. Anything you want to do, you can do. Really, if you want to do anything in life, it's going to depend upon you. Now, there's a certain element of truth in that. But Satan wants us to become our own Savior. He wants us to become our own God. Matter of fact, I just read a quote from a man recently. Actually said, I am my own God. What a disappointment he's going to experience. And so, Jesus said, I am the way. Satan has another answer for that. Go to 1 Corinthians 1. And I think we see sort of that same thing continue. In 1 Corinthians 1, verse 18. It says, and it just shows you the difference in the language of the kingdom of God and the kingdom of this world. 1 Corinthians 1, verse 18. For the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness. But unto us, which are saved, it is the power of God. See? To the kingdom of this world, the cross is foolishness. It's a different language. Verse 19, for it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise and bring to nothing the understanding of the prudent. Where is the wise? Where is the scribe? Where is the disputer of this world? Hath not God made foolish the wisdom of this world? For after that in wisdom of God, the world by wisdom knew not God. It pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. See how different it is? See how different this language is? The language of the kingdom and the language of the world. Jesus also said in that verse, I am the truth. Not only I am the way, but I am the truth. And I think Jesus is saying there, all truth resides in me. And He is truth. Everything He says is true. He Himself is truth. Satan has another language for that. Satan says, truth is what you decide it is. Whatever you decide is true, that's what is true for you. There's all kinds of truth, you see. And everybody decides for themselves what is true in their lives. That's a complete confusion. That is the language of the kingdom of this world. Over in John 8:44, back to the book of John again. In John 8:44, Jesus exposes Satan for what he is. In John 8:44, he tells some of the, I think it was the scribes and some of them, he says, ye are of your father the devil, and the lust of your father ye will do. He was a murderer from the beginning and abode not in the truth. See, Satan is just the opposite. And the philosophy of this world is just the opposite of what the philosophy is of the kingdom. Because there is no truth in him. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own. For he is a liar and the father of it. And so we have to realize that when it comes to truth, we need to go to the kingdom of God and not the kingdom of this world. Just back up a few verses, and there in John chapter 8, verse 32, and Jesus says what happens when we know the truth. And he says, and ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. When you know Christ, when you know the truth, you're going to find freedom in your life. It's not going to be a life of bondage. It's going to be a life of freedom and joy when we know the truth. Now, the third thing that Jesus said in that verse, back in John 14:6, he says, I am the way, I am the truth, and he says, I am the life. I am the life. It made me think of Jesus' conversation with that woman there at the well. Remember what he told her? He said, if you would have known who it is that is speaking to you, he said, you could have asked, and I would have given you living water that you will never thirst again. Water that brings life to you. And you know, that's what Jesus wants to bring to every one of us. He wants to bring life that will be eternal life and will never thirst again. And there again, Satan is just the opposite. Satan says, I'll give you what you want. I'll give you what you desire. What those lusts in your life and so on, that's what you can have, and that's where you're going to find happiness. But that's going to bring bondage to our life instead of victory. Over in Ephesians chapter 2, Ephesians chapter 2, verse 2. And here we get a picture of this. And he says, he's saying here, wherein in time past ye walked according to the course of this world. Now, here again, this is Satan's language that we're talking about. Wherein in time past ye walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience. The language of this world is a spirit of disobedience. It's a spirit of wanting to do my own thing. A spirit of, I know the way. I don't need Christ. That's the spirit of this world. And so, We see that the language of Jesus and the language of Satan is just the opposite. Now I want us to think. What language am I speaking? What language am I speaking? Now, some of you know more about this than I do. Some of you grew up speaking another language before you spoke English. Did you find yourself at times getting mixed up as you got older? I've heard some stories. I've heard some stories that are humorous. I've heard some stories that are embarrassing of getting mixed up as people made that transition from one language to another. I remember a story. I remember something. I was talking to a person. Actually, it was Esther Troyer's sister, Anne. Somehow this has always stuck in my mind. But Esther's sister, Anne, in her younger years, became a nurse and went to Brazil as a missionary nurse. And there, she stayed. She found her husband there, Eze, a fine man, appreciate him. And they raised their family there. Today, they live back in the States. But I remember talking with Anne a number of years ago. And Anne had to learn Portuguese. That was the language there that she had to learn. And I was talking to her about that. I said, how did that work? How did that go for you? From learning, knowing English all your life and having to learn Portuguese. And she said something there I always remembered. She said, I felt like I became a part of that language and began knowing that language when I started thinking in Portuguese. You see, she said, up to that time, I would think in English and then I would talk Portuguese. But when I started thinking in English, in Portuguese, then I could really talk and really be a part of that language. And I had to think of that as I was thinking of this language of the kingdom. You know, we've all been born in sin. We've all been born speaking the language of this world, so to speak. Most at least have experienced the transforming power of Christ in our lives. A power that is instant, but it's also a power that's ongoing. It's a power that continues to work in our lives and bring change to us and so on. Do you ever find yourself slipping back sometimes into the old language? We all do at times, don't we? That old language that we were used to back there has a way of creeping in. Something happens. You know, I think the best way to help overcome that is to think in the language of the kingdom. You know, if we try to speak the language of the kingdom, but our mind is filled with the language of the kingdom of this world, it's going to be a lot more difficult. It's going to be hard to do. But when we begin to fill our mind with the language of the kingdom of God, then I believe it's going to make a big difference in how we live and how we can really live our walk with the Lord. It's important what we fill our minds with. It's important what we think about. It's important that Christ is the center of our minds, that His Word is the center of our minds. And so I'd just like for us to really think about that. What is our mind filled with? Is it the language of the kingdom of God or the language of this world? Well, in closing, I'd like to turn to Revelation 19. I'd like to read a few verses there, starting at verse 11. I guess in this passage we see the conflict that is ongoing and is going to be won between these two kingdoms. Revelation 19, verse 11. John says, "I saw heaven open, and behold, a white horse. And he that sat upon him was called Faithful and True. And in righteousness he doth judge and make war." Obvious who that is, isn't it? It's Jesus. "His eyes were as a flame of fire, and on his head were many crowns, and he had a name written that no man knew but he himself. And he was clothed with a vesture dipped in blood, and his name is called the Word of God." Here again we see that where he's called the Word. "And the armies which were in heaven followed him upon white horses, clothed in fine linen and white and clean. And out of his mouth goeth a sharp sword, that with it he should smite the nations." I don't know what you think about when you read that. But I had to, when I read that phrase there, that he shall smite the nations, it reminded me of something that's been mentioned here a number of times now this year. And that is that prophecy over there in Daniel, where the stone comes out and goes into the feet of that statue of those nations and so on. Wayne referred to that last Sunday. And I had to think about that. "He shall smite the nations, and he shall rule them with a rod of iron. And he treadeth the winepress of the fierceness and wrath of Almighty God. And he hath on his vesture and on his thigh a name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords." I think I'll stop there. But, you know, we see what we have to look forward to. And we see that it's the kingdom of God that is going to win. Let's be a part of that kingdom. Let's speak the language which is of our Lord Jesus Christ. Let's speak that language of that kingdom. You know, one thing I'm thankful for, and that is the language of the kingdom can be spoken by all 6,000 languages of the world. Not one language, there's not one language above another that can speak it. But it can be spoken by all the languages of the world. And because it's the language of our Lord Jesus Christ. May the Lord bless you. I hope that it's something that we can really think about. Of what language am I speaking? What kingdom am I really living in and following? Lord bless you. Let's stand for a closing prayer. Father, I thank you so much. I thank you for the blessings and the grace and the help that you give to us. And Lord, I just pray that you would work in all of our lives. Lord, I just pray that we can have our hearts in your hands. I pray, Lord, that we can speak you and that we are part of your kingdom. Lord, give us grace. Give us forgiveness for times, Lord, we fall back into that other kingdom. Give us your mercy, dear Lord, and help us to really grow in you. Father, I just pray now that you would dismiss us with your blessing, that you would lead us and help us, guide us. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.